impact. Real talk, real people. Keeping it real.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to The Impact. With me, your host tonight, Brian Malvin K. Sitole. Someone once said, the most powerful person in the world is the storyteller. Storyteller sets the vision and also sets the tone of how things will go. Today on the show, I am joined by an organization that is doing exactly that, telling stories, different stories that are happening in the world. I'm joined by the CEO of an organization that is called Ya Content, Tafadzwa Anthony. Tafadzwa, welcome to The Impact.
Thank you very much for having me, Brian, and good evening, Zimbabwe, Africa, and the rest of the world.
It's a good evening to you as well, Mr. Tafadzwa Anthony Munyaradze. I'm also joined by Shehan Samson Muripo. I hope I got that right. Shehan, he is a 2-time world karate champion. Shehan, welcome to The Impact.
Also, thank you very much. Good evening, Zimbabwe.
Hi, Osu, as we say in Japanese, eh? I'm excited to have you on the show. And remember, you can be a part of this conversation by sending through WhatsApp messages on our platform, 0731-168-045, 0731-168-045. I'll start with you, with you, Tafadzwa. You are the founder of Ya Content. Would you like to tell us what that is all about? What is Ya Content?
Okay, so thank you very much for that question, Brian. So Ya Content is a pan-African multimedia content platform which serves content in the four major forms, which is your video, audio, pictorial, and literature.
Mm-hmm.
And as Ya Content, you mentioned the issue about storytelling. So as Ya Content, we have an initiative that we are running right now, which is called the Yako Story Initiative. And essentially, the initiative is just designed to tell stories.
Okay, so it's just about telling stories. Why is that important? You know, somebody might be wondering, okay, yeah, you tell a story, you talk about what somebody is doing, then what? What is the end game here?
Okay, so the reason why we started the Yako Story Initiative is because we believe that there are so many talented young Africans who are yet to be discovered, uncovered, and nurtured. And more so, there's also individuals who've got amazing stories, but that have never seen the light of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So our beliefs and guiding principles are based on finding and showcasing the diamond in the rough. And essentially, the Yako Story Initiative, therefore, is a collaborative undertaking which provides a unique opportunity to deliberately market, expose, promote, and showcase these diamonds who would have never been discovered otherwise.
I do understand that you have got a unique way of doing this, of telling stories, that you have taken this storytelling into a visual form. What made you decide to do that?
Okay, so normally we actually tell stories in all the major forms because they've got their own merits.
Mm-hmm.
However, particularly with the Yako Story Initiative, we're focusing on video.
Okay.
And the reason why we're focusing on video is because video is timeless. It combines visual and audio. It travels beyond borders and boundaries. And you can literally tell a story of a lifetime in a couple of minutes. So, just to mention a few.
And also, I think the footprint is stronger, right? When it comes to a visual story.
Exactly,
that you'd have told. All right, so let's talk about the context, the background that you're working in. You're working here in Zimbabwe. What is the creative space like in Zimbabwe and Africa from your experience?
Okay, so the creative space or landscape in both Zimbabwe and Africa as a whole, I believe, from what I've seen, is very rich with a lot of diverse talent, which just needs an opportunity, or dare I say, which is crying for an opportunity to be seen and heard.
Okay, and what are some of those opportunities that probably are unique to Zimbabwe that somebody might not be seeing? Because we're not to the same challenges, but you're seeing opportunities. Can you give examples of some of them that you have identified?
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much for that opportunity. So when you look at the, when it comes to what we are doing, mm-hmm. which is really telling these stories,
right,
is that you find that when you look at media as a whole,
mm-hmm.
there are a lot of stories that sometimes people may never hear.
Right.
Right. And some which can never, we will never be told.
Mm-hmm.
So the opportunity there is, if someone is able to then tell that story, package it properly, and, you know, get an audience, then there's a lot that can happen with that.
All right, now let's talk about money. You know, sometimes you do something, you have a great initiative, but doesn't pay the bills at the end of the day. What do you think should be done in order for us to get the creative economy in Africa to the next level? How do we monetize it, and how do we also help it to be able to grow our economy as a continent?
Okay, oh, that's a very pertinent question, right? And I think you've just reminded me about something.
Mm.
As the Yako Story Initiative, and speaking about Chi and Samson Ripo, who's here,
mm-hmm.
His story was actually brought to you by First Mutual Holdings Limited.
Mm-hmm.
So we must thank them for that, because these are some of the, that's also part of what answers your question, right?
Right.
So when you look at your question, it's got a lot of dimensions, which obviously we cannot exhaust today.
Right, right.
However, I think firstly, Africans themselves, we need to take the creative economy seriously as any other sector in the world.
Right.
Right. It's actually a massive business. Secondly, collaboration is key. So we need to foster a spirit of collaboration among Zimbabweans, Africans, and actually believe we can do it. And this is why we're collaborating with Shia and himself, First Mutual Holdings Limited. Right. Mm-hmm. And thirdly, our private sector must come into the party and become active participants.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth, our governments must set conducive legislation and environments for the industry to grow and thrive, because there is billions of dollars to be made in this industry. And then lastly, Brian, we need to have technologies and channels to support the creative economy, and this is what we also offer.
All right, very interesting. Let me just come to you, Shihan. You've been thrown into the picture here. Your journey is a storied one, and was celebrated in Zimbabwe as well as in various discourses. You know, you are somebody who's well known and well celebrated. But can you give us some insights on the highs and lows of being a top achiever? How was the journey for you?
Good evening, and thank you very much. Arigato gozaimashita. Thank you very much.
Arigato.
Yes, I started training karate in 1993 at Ndima Government Secondary School in Chimanimani.
Okay.
Then after my high school, I migrated to Harare. And my brother, Gift Muripo, looked for a school, better school, Kyokushin Karate School in town.
Okay.
After seeing that, I was so passionate because I love karate to the moon and back.
Wow.
Yes. So he enrolled me at a board fitness center by then under Sensei Marange, who is now a Shian.
All right.
In 1997. I trained. And
maybe before I even go further, what yes. is a Shihan? Maybe people are wondering. They probably think it's your name.
Yeah. Right. Shihan is a master level in martial arts.
Okay.
Specifically in Kyokushin Karate.
When you're talking of Mama belts, Mama.
Yes. I'm fifth dan black belt.
Ah,
which is obtained at minimum after training consecutively 17 years. Yeah, so it's a long journey to attain my level. So in 2003, Shian Marange, who was by then sensei, after seeing the way...
Sensei is teacher, right?
Yes. After seeing my level of determination, he said, please leave everything that you are doing. I want you to be a full-time karateka in Uchidesh under his arms. So I trained under Sensei Marange in Uchidesh 2003 up to September 2005, which was almost like 3 years, taking classes every class from 5 a.m. until 8 p.m. So that's where I was groomed to be an all-time hard worker karateka.
Okay.
Then after my first participation in a world tournament, which was hosted in Russia, that September 2005, where His Excellency Vladimir Putin was the guest of honor to that event, I came back with a very abnormal mindset towards karate.
Okay.
And I moved out from Sensei Marange to form my own organization after seeing that there were some opportunities that were not like comfortable.
Utilizing.
Yeah, okay. And under someone. Yeah. So by end of 2005, I scouted for a lot of events in Japan, which were like seminars from one province to another.
Okay.
Then after approaching the head office of the organization, by then Kyokushin Union, I said, no, I want to come there for 6 months to train karate. Because I saw what I saw in Russia made me to say, no, I don't know karate, but that's the sport that I love.
Okay.
So I went to Japan in July 2006. And trained under Hanshi Daigo Oishi.
Oh.
When after my training with him of 3 weeks, he said, no, wherever you're going, you are going to be a champion. The spirit that you have is abnormal.
And I like how the champion was eventually born. Hey, now you are a two-time world winner. But maybe as we sum up, unfortunately, we don't have a lot of time, but I'm glad that your story is also being recorded by Ya Content.
Yes,
and one day, people are going to be able to follow through with that.
Yes.
In less than a minute, what are some of the experiences that you'd want young people out there to also take from your own experiences?
I can say to them briefly is that easy path, easy journey does not bring you anything. Mm-hmm. The hardest of paths brings tremendous victory. They say pressure makes diamond.
Right.
Yeah, so that's the issue I can say.
All right, so pressure makes diamonds, right?
Yes,
if you're not under pressure, you will not succeed. Those are the parting shots that came from Shihan. Tafazwa, in less than a minute, what are your parting shots?
Okay, so my parting shots are that Shihan Samson Muripo's story is there on Ya Content, so you can come to www.yakontent.com, yakontent.com, and you can watch it. It's a 4-part mini docu series. There's a lot of fireworks. He's got an amazing story. And also, I would encourage anyone who's interested in stories or storytelling to follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Ya Content.
Great. So Ya Content is there creating content. And we can even do the same, you know, on our social media platforms or the various platforms that we have. We can tell our stories, tell the story of Africa, tell the world what we want them to know about Africa. For this, that's all the time that we had for the impact. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining me this evening.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Great. I really enjoyed the conversation. I hope we'll be able to continue it in other platforms as well.
Thank you very much.
For this, that's all the time that we had for The Impact, a show that looks at real issues affecting real people. It's me, your host, Brian Marvin Casey Tolle, saying good night. Let's meet in other programs. Larry is next with The Platform.
Impact. Real talk. Real people. Keeping it real. See.